Welcome to Listen to Lawrence, presented by Lawrence Eric Davidow, Senior and Managing Partner of Davidow, Davidow, Siegel & Stern, one of the first and most successful elder law, special needs, and estate planning firms on Long Island. This podcast series is based on his Listen to Lawrence seminars and will teach you how to plan in advance to protect your own assets and those that you leave to your children and grandchildren. Mr. Davidow is a past president of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, a published author, and an accomplished and educational speaker. So sit back and listen to Lawrence.
Hello, everybody. This is Lawrence Davidow, and this is my Listen to Lawrence podcast, where I dedicate this podcast to answering your questions. And that's really what this is all about, is that every week I am flooded with questions from my clients, from my friends, from my listeners here, from my people who read my Listen to Lawrence letter. I get these questions, and then I dedicate a podcast to presenting that question and answering that question with the simplest terms possible. I'm not going to sit here and talk for the next half hour or so. We have a question. We're going to answer it simply. My goal is for you to walk away learning at least one thing today, and we'll pick up something else the next time. So why don't we get right into this week's question? I think this is one that I really like, and then I get this question a lot. It says, Lawrence, I have to be honest with you. I don't like my daughter-in-law. How do I prevent her from getting her hands on my money? All right, so you could put in son-in-law there as well in your particular case. But this is a question that we get a lot. Here's the bottom line answer. The only way that you can really prevent your daughter-in-law getting her hands on your money is not to leave the money to your son. That's the problem. If you leave your money to your son, well, then he can do whatever he wants with it. It's his money. If he commingles it with her and they get divorced, she's going to probably get half. If he dies, his will probably leaves the assets to her. Now, there could be obviously some exceptions to all this, and you have to have a candid conversation with your son in this particular case. But the bottom line, though, is if you want to control making sure that your daughter-in-law doesn't get her hot little hands on your money, then you can't give it to your son in the first place. So what you can do instead, though, because I know you really want your son to get it, is you can create something called a family protection trust. Or sometimes we call it a beneficiary protection trust. But in essence, instead of leaving the money to your son, whatever you had planned to leave him, it goes into a trust for his benefit. The most liberal way to set this up is to have your son actually be the trustee of the trust. But he can't be the sole trustee. But the way it works is that the trust gets the money, and he has the right, the trustees have the right to give him money whenever he needs it. It's that simple. But he always has to have a co-trustee. So your son, as one of the trustees, has to go to the co-trustee to get permission to take money out of the trust. Now, who's that co-trustee going to be? Well, it may be his brother or his sister or his best friend or someone who will say, yes, of course you can have your money whenever you want it. And that's kind of the way these things work. So that when he gets divorced, he says to her, sorry, honey, I don't own any money. It's owned by my trust, and my co-trustee won't let me have it, so I can't give it to you in the court. And no court could force the trustee to give it to him. But what if he goes to his co-trustee and he goes to his sister and he says, all right, sis, give me $50,000. I'm going to go get a Mercedes. And she says to her brother, sorry, bro, but mom and dad would really not be happy with you going to buy a Mercedes when you should be buying a Hyundai. You're wasting your money. You've always wasted your money. And so what can the son do here? Well, the son can fire his sister. He can fire the co-trustee at any time and replace his co-trustee with anybody else under the sun except another sibling and an employee or a child. It can't be somebody technically under your control. But people pick their best friends and people like that so that you have this independent co-trustee. And that is the game that's played here. The money goes into the trust. You have a friendly co-trustee. You can get your money whenever you want it. You don't even need the money sometimes. If you wanted to buy jewelry, or if you wanted to buy a car or something, you could actually have the trust buy the car. You could have the trust buy the jewelry, and the trust would own it. So anything that comes out in your name, a spouse can get, but anything that remains titled in the name of the trust will be continued to be protected. Now, actually, I have this in my will for my kids, all three of my kids. None of them are married right now, but I put this in proactively because I don't know what the future is going to be, and I want to protect them. Now, they can get out of this if they want to. See, what I said was all they have to do is go to the co-trustee and get the money. In fact, they can go to the co-trustee and get all the money out and get rid of the trust. And they could say, you know, Mom and Dad were a bunch of control freaks. I love my wife. I don't need this trust. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get the permission of my co-trustee, take all the money out of the trust. It'll be my money. I can do anything I want. If I want to give it to my wife, I'm going to give it to my wife. And if we set it up that way, that is a possibility. So you have to ask yourself, questioner here, How does that make you feel? If you want to dot the I's and cross the T's and make sure absolutely there's no way that this daughter-in-law is going to get the money, then you have to tighten the controls here. Think of it as a spigot. Do you want the spigot to be wide open and the water is flushing out, or do you want it to drip? And you have the right to create a trust that can drip or have the money flow out very, very liberally. So if you don't want under any circumstances for your son to be able to take the money out of the trust, then we're probably going to have to set it up with a stronger co-trustee, and they don't have the right to replace that co-trustee. So that is the way these things are set up. Now, the cool thing is not only does it protect from spouses, but it protects from creditors. They get into an accident, they're sued for some reason, 100% creditor protection as well. And at the time of death, of your son in this particular case, your trust that you set up for him says where the money goes. So the money is going to go probably to your grandchildren or some other family members. We can even give your son here the power to change the beneficiaries, but limited to a class of people like your children and your grandchildren or something along those lines, but not the spouse. So there's a lot of control you can have here, but not every client likes this. Sometimes they just see it as stepping over the line, and too much control is inappropriate, that the anger they've had for their daughter-in-law, son-in-law, while maybe true and you feel it, sometimes you need to reassess whether that's the right motive. Maybe that's not the wrong reason to be setting up one of these things. How will it affect the relationship with your son and his wife, that you didn't trust them enough? So all of these things have to be balanced. But if you want to protect your assets for your son or your daughter, and you want to keep the money away from the daughter-in-laws and the son-in-laws, the best way to do it is by setting up one of these beneficiary protection trusts. But I usually set it up so they can take all the money out, because I'm really not trying to control things from the grave. I'm trying to give my children a tool that they can use to protect themselves if they feel that they need that protection. If they know that their marriage is not the best, then hopefully they'll use this tool and keep the money in there and keep everything protected. But if they have a loving marriage, it's a long-term marriage, and she's a great wife, she's a great mother, then maybe we don't need this trust. Maybe your son or your daughter can take the money out and share it with their spouse. So this is all part of the plan, and this is becoming extremely popular. These beneficiary or family protection trusts are very popular, and they technically have been around for years, but we hardly ever talk to our clients about that, because we used to spend all of our time, and we were exhausted doing it, talking about taxes. But now, because the estate tax exemption is so high, it's close to $6 million in New York, it's over $11 million federally, all of a sudden the tax conversation for most clients went away, and now they had time to really express their real wishes, the things that really bother them, which could be their daughter-in-law and son-in-law and protecting assets for their kids, et cetera, et cetera. So this started to be the questions we started getting and became very popular throughout the country, really. I go to all of these national conferences, and this is one of the biggest topics out there. these family protection trusts. So look, I said that I wanted you to learn one thing today. So you learned about a family protection trust. There's a lot more I could say, but I wanted to introduce this topic. I wanted you to learn one thing, and you did. So I want to thank you very much for listening here today. I wish you peace, health, and happiness. And then, oh, wait a minute, my podcast, even I can stop in my closing right now because I forgot to say something. And that is, I want your questions. You have to send me your questions. So I want you to send those questions to info@davidowlaw.com. That's DAVIDOWLAW, davidowlaw.com, info@davidowlaw.com. Send me your questions and I will answer them in a future podcast or one of my Listen to Lawrence letters that I send out twice a week. So again, peace, health, and happiness. And until next time, stay safe, my friends. Bye-bye.
The Listen to Lawrence podcast is not meant to be advice particular to any one person or to serve as a do-it-yourself planning guide. It's simply to educate the audience. For more information, please visit davidowlaw.com.